Amen. All right. Freebie, huh? You know the old saying, get what you pay for. That's true everywhere, but in God's economy, because the most valuable thing you could ever get was free. It was a gift. I'm glad I got it. Amen. I'm glad it's still available. All right. I know some of you have been waiting for one last little anecdote. Here we go. A preacher decided on a Sunday morning that a visual demonstration would emphasize his sermon. So as he stepped into the pulpit, he took four jars and set them across the pulpit, and in the first one, he dropped a worm, and that jar contained liquor. The second jar had cigarette smoke, and he dropped a worm, live worm, in there. And the third jar had chocolate, and he dropped the worm in there. And the final jar had good, clean earth, and he dropped the live worm in there. And everybody watches him do all that. He preaches his whole sermon, and he doesn't mention them until he draws everybody's attention to him at the end. And he said, let's see what this experiment shows us. And he looked in the jar with the liquor, and the worm's dead. He looks in the jar with the cigarette smoke, and the worm is dead. He looks in the jar with the chocolate, and the worm is dead. And he holds up the jar with the good, clean earth, and the worm's alive and well. And he offers this question to the congregation. He says, what can we learn from this illustration? Sweet little old lady in the back of the church raised her hand right away, and he called on her. And she said, Pastor, looks to me like as long as you drink, smoke, and eat chocolate, you don't have to worry about having worms. Now, I got to tell you, sometimes we'll preach our heart out, we'll preach the Bible, and then some comments later will cause you to wonder if anybody was really even paying attention to what you said. Sometimes they hear something completely different. That's the way it is. We've been here for 10 days, 11 messages, and I feel the Lord met with us. And he didn't ride with me. He meets with us because we want him to, we ask him to, we invite him to. And we've had a good meeting. Amen? And it's been a privilege. And this final message will go to 1 Corinthians 16. 1 Corinthians 16, and when it's all said and done, I hope you get more out of it than a formula for how not to have worms. 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse 13 says this, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Now you'll notice that we're almost at the end of the epistle to the church at Corinth. And Paul's putting some things in at the end that are important that he wants to remind them of, that he wants to leave them with, because this is the end. Now, you and I know there's a second epistle. But when he wrote this, he didn't know there was going to be. So he's sticking in something here at the end that he feels is important. He's dealt with some serious things in this epistle. Sin and all kinds of stuff. And it gets down toward the close, and out of this verse, I'll try to preach four things to remember. As we come to the end of this meeting, and we've covered a multitude of things, but I want to give you four things to remember for the days, weeks, and I hope not years, till the Lord comes back. Father, I do love you, and I thank you for grace, and I thank you for this church, and I thank you for these new friends. And I pray and ask, Lord God, we'd all be able to encourage one another to stay in the fight until you call it. And Lord, I pray tonight for the ability to convey the what you've laid on my heart in such a way that it'll be a help to someone, to everyone, perhaps, in some way. Thank you, God, for being so good to me. Thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, the blood that was shed, the redemption that was paid for at such a cost. And then you gave us the book, too. So help us to follow the directions, Lord, and make a difference in the time we have left, redeeming the time, like they sang. Thank you, Jesus, and I pray it in your precious and mighty name. Amen and amen. All right, so the first thing he says there is watch ye. And I say to you tonight, watch ye. Number one, watch yourself. Watch yourself. You can get some spiritual victory. I mentioned in one of the messages, you can clean up your act to such a degree that you let your own guard down. Amen. There's empty pews all over America where people thought they had a handle on this thing when it comes to walking in the Spirit. And some of them are so far out of the faith, out of the work right now because they failed to watch themselves. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17, in verse number 9, the heart is deceitful. Yes. All right, that in and of itself, true. Then it says, above all things. Now that's profound in and of itself. Because we're warned throughout the scripture to be aware of the deceitful brethren, deceitful doctrine, false teachers, the devil's a deceiver. But then the Bible says within you, within yourself, within your own spirit, you have the capability of being the greatest deceiver of all. And he says the heart is deceitful and death above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the answer to that, of course, is very simple. The only one that can know it is the one that made it. And that's why he says, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. And the best way you're ever going to be able to watch yourself is to give your heart to Jesus Christ. He is the only one with a perfect track record. It says this, if any man think that he knoweth, in 1 Corinthians 8 and verse 2, if any man think he knoweth anything, he knoweth nothing yet as he ought to know. And I know some things. I know some things. I've learned some things. But I know I've got a Bible that tells me to bear in mind that I haven't arrived yet, and neither have you. And giving credit to what you may know, there's more. Amen. Here's where the problem lies. You hear something preached, you hear something taught, you hear something said somewhere, and right out of the book, now I'm not talking about all that phony baloney stuff that's going on the radio and television, but I'm talking about when it comes out of that book, and there's the thought that comes to your heart. Well, I think that's where flags need to go up. Yeah. Amen. Because here's how it works. Every time. The book's right. When you disagree, you're wrong. And whether you understand it or not, if you can get a hold of that right there, even when I heard somebody say, it's okay to disagree with God. Amen. It's okay. Just as long as you bear in mind at the end of the day, he's right and you're wrong.
Amen.
So you might come across things you will that you don't understand, but it'll probably be a safe bet. Give God the benefit of the doubt. Because he's right. Amen. And you need to watch yourself in the days and weeks and years to come. It says in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 12, wherefore let him that thinketh, he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. Some of you have been in this meeting every night, every service. Amen. And you've gotten some stuff. And I tell you what, that caused you, could cause you to put a little notch on your belt. Here's how it manifests itself. When you look around and your thought comes to mind of who wasn't here and who should have been here and who could have been here and why didn't they take it seriously, and you start thinking you're... that ain't how it works, friend. Better watch yourself. Paul said to him, he said, watch ye, and I concur. If there's something I've learned in 26 years of Christian, is that my biggest disappointment is me. Amen. That my biggest enemy in my desire and effort to live in such a way as to please and serve my Savior, my biggest enemy is not the devil. My biggest enemy is not this world that was very well put this morning in Sunday school, why we're here. Amen. We're in it. We're not supposed to be of it, but we're sure enough supposed to be in it. My biggest enemy isn't the devil or the world. My biggest enemy meets me in the bathroom mirror every morning. Amen. Amen. There's a day where I gave myself notice. I said, you, I'm going to keep an eye on you all day. I had a good day. I had a good day. I said, you're going to give me more trouble today in my desire to live for God than anyone else. I don't know why is it now I even say that and I'm convicted. Why don't I start every day that way? Dying daily. Putting the flesh on notice that we don't trust it. I don't know. Probably the same reason you don't. Saved, walked in the blood, Bible believer, done some things for God, want to do some things for God. But I'm going to tell you what, if you don't make a point to keep an eye on that flesh, buddy, it'll rear up. That book says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 17, the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. They're contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you want. And you give it a little lead, and it'll run with it, boy. And so Paul says, watch ye. And I say, watch yourself, but don't just watch yourself. I'd say you better watch the devil, too. Watch the devil. It says in 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, the context of the passage is forgiveness and unforgiveness. And unforgiveness within the body of Christ is a device of the devil. You hear me? But I noticed that the word is plural. We're not ignorant of his devices. And can I say to you tonight, and I've been made aware of some things, I've seen some things in the last year that I never dreamed I'd see. Amen. And the devil has created great chasms in the Church of Jesus Christ with cliques and Phariseeism, but also with bitterness and grudge-holding. Amen. The Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 32, it says, be kind one to another. And I tell you what, in our crowd, our Bible-believing crowd, there are a lot of times where we're a little short on kindness. We're a little short on be kind to one another, tender-hearted. Listen, I'm a militant Bible believer. I can stand with any of them. But at the same time, I believe the Bible tells me I'm to be kind to my brethren and I'm to be tender-hearted. And then it says forgiving one another. Amen. Forgiving one another. And we know it says that. And we know Jesus said till 70 times 7. And we know that it's we're supposed to. But even knowing that, we have a flesh that'll harbor a grudge. That's why he says earlier that grieving the Holy Spirit of God, the first thing on the list is bitterness. Amen. Just a couple of verses up. From that. And we smile and we know we're supposed to forgive, but we can, you know, have aught with a brother or sister, even in the same room, even in the same church. And we justify it by saying we can't verbalize it because we're supposed to be forgiving. So, but we have aught in our heart because we justify it by saying to ourselves, well, they said this, they did this, and here's how God addresses that, because offenses do come, and Christians do say dumb things, and Christians do fail to give one another the benefit of the doubt. And it's part of it, because we're human. Amen. And so I'm not saying there's nothing, but I'm saying this. It says, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Here's how God cuts to the chase across the board for every one of us. No matter what your justification is for whatever kind of bitterness or unforgiveness or lack of ability to see past something, here's how God cuts to the chase. Nobody has ever done anything to any of you that is remotely comparable to what your sin did to my son.
Amen. Amen.
And he forgave you, even as God, for Christ's sake, have forgiven you. Amen. Amen. Unforgiveness. Amen. That's a device of the devil. But it also says in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, and he has means, as by any means as the serpent beguiled Eve through its subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. The devil, and he has means like religion and other things, but he successfully complicates what the Lord made simple. I got saved in a jail cell alone 3 weeks after hearing a message preached about hell, and I'm glad it was that way, 6 a.m. all by myself, because I didn't have anybody to ask, nobody to talk to, nobody to call. I'm in solitary confinement, and the simplicity in Christ was just real plain and simple. He died for my sins. I'm going to hell if I don't get saved. That's where I needed it. But I'll tell you what, people, you get witnessed to, or they'll read some material, and then they'll get around some Christian or a church that just, and people are, like somebody said, more mixed up than a termite in a yo-yo by the time they're trying to figure out, and they're going all down different ways trying to get to Christ. And that's the devil to make it complicated. It said let me read it right. It says, as the serpent beguiled Eve, but his goal is much more sinister than to beguile. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8, we're talking about Paul saying, watch ye and watch yourself, but watch the devil. The Bible says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary. Are you saved in here?
Amen.
You've got an adversary, a supernatural adversary, an invisible adversary that you're no match for. And he's got an agenda. And it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, has a roaring lion walking about, seeking whom he may devour. And I'm here to tell you tonight, if you're a child of God, he's gunning for you. He's gunning for you, and you better watch out for him. Better watch out. Don't take him for granted. Not one bit. He's fighting harder. We're supposed to be fighting harder than ever as we come into the last days. And the Bible makes it real clear that we are. And I don't know, sometimes we don't act like we know that. We read the Bible like it's a novel. Oh, wow. No, that is supposed to fire us up to redeem the time, for the days are evil. Things like that. But I'm going to tell you something. The devil knows what time it is. And he's fighting harder than ever. And he's very successful. And that's why it's important, because we're not ignorant of his devices. It's time for us to fight harder than ever. Amen?
Amen.
So he said to this this church as he's leaving them, and like I said, at that point in time, he didn't know if he was ever going to see them again. Write to him again. I mean, I'm on the schedule for 2019, and if Lord tarries, I'll be looking forward to coming back. I hope some of you will be looking forward to us coming back. Coming anyway. No, I don't know. Maybe not. But I'll tell you what, between now and then, a lot of things can change. Amen. I want to be found faithful, don't you? Amen. And so there's, maybe we better just not take things for granted and keep our guard up. And he told his church, watch ye, but let me say to you too, watch out for the Lord. That Bible says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Boy, and that's what I'm looking for. Amen. And I'm ready to go. Are you? Are you saved? Amen. Now, if you're saved, then you're ready to go, and that you're not worried about hell, but are you ready to give account? Are you ready for the judgment seat of Christ? Are you aware that so then every one of us shall give an account of himself? And the judgment that's talked about in Hebrews chapter 9, so, and as it is appointed unto man, once to die, but after this, the judgment, there's a judgment for saved people too. Amen. And thank God it's not for sin. Thank God that's settled on Calvary.
Amen.
But there's an accounting for what we did with the life that he purchased for us with his own blood. Amen. And, the good news is we can, even when we mess up, we can get the thing confessed and forgiven, and we ought to want a desire to go into that judgment with a short list, not a long list, not a bunch of unconfessed sin. And so I would challenge you, I mean, if that was today, if you sat through 10 days of meetings and the Spirit of God is bore witness to some area of your life and you had not dealt with it, well, do you realize you're just adding baggage to what you're going to give an account for? And then it would be wise to get that thing under the blood? Amen? Because, you know that thing everybody probably, hide and seek was a game kids play, and somebody covered their eyes and would count, and then he'd say, what, ready or not, here I come. Well, that's the way it is with Jesus Christ, only he's not playing games. And you need to watch out for the Lord, and you need to be ready. As a matter of fact, it says in Matthew 24, therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Amen? And listen, I'm not looking forward to give an account of everything that I've thought or done as a Christian. I've tried to keep the list short, but coming. Amen. I figure I might as well get it over with. If I live another 10 years, it'll probably just get worse. Not only watch for him to come back. He's coming back. And he's going to be right on time. I don't lose a lot of sleep worrying about it. If there's anything that I want to be real careful of is I want to be found faithful when he does. Amen. And I want to be faithful to be looking for opportunities that the Lord sends. And he does. Every day. There's a place for a track or a witness or an invitation to church. Like I say, the meeting's over, but the gospel still going to be preached here every single service. Even during teaching the gospel is what it's all about. What Christ did for us, what Christ is willing to do for any man. Amen. But here's what we know. A lot of people, myself, I didn't get saved in church. I think it's the best place to get saved. Amen. And the younger, the better. But I didn't get saved in church. I got saved in a jail cell. My wife got saved in her bedroom. Amen. As in a young adult. A lot of people, maybe more of you than I would know, got saved somewhere and ended up. That's just how it is. And so they're out there. And we need to, it says in verse 9, I believe, of 1 Corinthians 16, Paul wrote this, for a great door and effectual is opened unto me. And how exciting is that? What more could a preacher, what more could a child of God that's aware that what Christ did for them, he's also willing and able to do for any man, woman, boy, or girl, a great door and effectual. Isn't it good? Isn't that a great guarantee that when you go downtown to the street that the Word of God goes out? No matter what you see as far as results, the Word of God's going to accomplish what God sent it to. A great door and effectual is opened unto me. Amen. But don't let it open and then you fail to see it or fail to take advantage of it. You ought to long for something like that. But the verse does go on to say, and there are many adversaries. And maybe that's why people aren't looking for it. We get saved, and then we go to church, and then we grow a little bit in the Lord, and we give, and maybe, you know, witness to our family. But you know, once it comes to the coworker thing, or the neighbor thing, or the classmate thing, you know, we're a little more reluctant to make a statement because of the possibility of adversarial response. And it's very true. It happens all the time.
Amen.
I'd rather risk offending someone down here than see them kicked off into a lake of fire at the great white throne. My preacher preached a message as a young Christian, and he preached a message called No Guts, No Glory. I think General Patton was the subject of the message, but he talked about having courage. Paul says to this church as he wraps up this epistle, four things, and the first one was, watch ye. And I say to you, church, until we meet again, or Lord willing, we will, I want to admonish you at these, that same warning, exhortation, whatever you want to call it. Watch ye. Watch yourself. Don't trust yourself. Paul showed us in Romans 7 that he didn't trust his flesh. And you know where Christians get in trouble? They do. Man, the longer I'm saved, the less I trust myself. That's why God's got me traveling with an iron fellow laborer. The Bible says iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. You know where people get in trouble? They're hanging around plastic. What is that? Phony. Fake. Doesn't sharpen nothing. Watch yourself. Watch for the devil. He's alive and well. He's at it. Amen. And watch for the Lord. And be ready and keep short accounts. Amen. And then watch out for opportunities that he gives. Amen. And he does. All right. So, this is freebie, remember? Verse number 13, was it? I think it also says, stand fast in the faith. He said in Philippians 4:1, I think I read it one night, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. And, you know, it didn't escape me that this thing about standing fast has come up a couple of different messages. So I looked through the Pauline epistles, and Paul wrote it six different times. To stand fast. It must be kind of important. That's what that tells me. And he tells this church at Corinth, they've had some problems, they've gotten some victories, they've taken some hard preaching, some hard reproof, and they've come out with some victory. And he wasn't shy about congratulating people when they were doing right either. He didn't just cut them open and leave them there bleeding. He sewed them up and tried to encourage them to get in a fight and do something for Christ. And he tells them, stand fast in the faith. And that word stand fast, I guess I got introduced to it in the military. It means don't depart, don't waver. Stand fast means don't even move. And there's some areas where you've purposed in your heart that the King James Bible is the Word of God, and there's some things that God's laid on your heart. And listen, a lot of things are changing these days. But there's a lot of things that don't need to be rethought. We just need to stand fast. Here's why. He wrote to Timothy in the first letter to that young man in chapter 4 and verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in latter times, I think that's where we're at, don't you? That in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils.
Amen.
Now, to depart from the faith meant you was in the faith. And again, there's empty chairs, empty pews, every church I preach at where somebody's departed. And some of them been called into the ministry, and some of them been called into the mission field. Some of them been moved across the country and are serving somewhere else, and some of them just aren't in it anymore. Because they've been deceived, they've departed from the faith. And beloved, stand fast in the faith. Galatians chapter 5. Go ahead and go there. Galatians chapter 5. Sometimes I don't ask you to turn to Scripture. Maybe I should more. It'd take longer. Then I could be one of them hour and a half long preachers. Amen. But Galatians chapter 5, verse number 1 says this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. I like that subject. I'm an American. I like freedom. Amen? I do. I like it. And I like the most important freedom there is the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. And the verse goes on to say, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. And that epistle is written to a church, and he tells them to stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ had made them free. But it tells you and I that it's possible to get entangled again. And thank God you can't get entangled eternally again if you've been set free by Jesus Christ. But you can sure make a mess on this side, can't you? And so I've been locked up. I'm no stranger to handcuffs. I see verses like this, and they strike a note with me. Amen. I don't want to be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. I spent most of my adult life entangled in the yoke of bondage. Now that I'm saved and I want to do something for Jesus Christ, and I understand who my biggest enemy is, and I already explained that, I want to be real careful not to get entangled again. And how do you do that? Stand fast in the faith. Now listen, whether it's in bondage to carnal fleshly lusts or religious ritual or just false doctrine, bondage is bondage. Sometimes we put it on a scale and think, well, I'm not doing that, so this isn't so bad. That's not the way to look at it at all. Let me give you an illustration. When I was in the Outlaws Motorcycle Club, there were hundreds and hundreds of us, and we would converge on whatever town. If we had a funeral, there was a time in the early 80s where a brother in Fort Lauderdale was killed. We all went down there. There was probably about 200 of us at the clubhouse. The funeral was earlier that day. Now it's party time. We're it's a wake. And there's a lot of us there, and people were in different conditions, if you can just let it go at that. And Florida Department of Law Enforcement, Drug Enforcement Agency, and the FBI decided to come in and raid us. They were looking for some folks that were on the run. And they always usually came at very early in the morning. That was a good time. And but they came about 6 o'clock at night. And they rolled in on us, and the first thing they did was surround the clubhouse with fire trucks. And I'd never seen that before. We really didn't know what was going on at first. But firemen come out, and then SWAT team comes out, and they kind of cover the firemen, lay ladders on the roof, and they're on the roof with gigantic spotlights. And it was 6 o'clock, and it was December, and it's getting dark in South Florida, but they have got this place lit up like daytime. And I mean, they descended a bunch of law enforcement descended on us. Well, we weren't strangers to that kind of thing. And truth be known, they were more nervous than we were. They had had a briefing. They were prepped, and half of us were inebriated, and they were pretty nervous. So they decided to, and we were giving them a hard time. That's what we did well. And they decided they were going to pull in a little portable fingerprint station. And it was on wheels. They brought it out of a van, and it was on wheels, and they took fingerprints the old-fashioned way. I didn't find out till Toronto they can scan those things now. Amen. And they fingerprinted 200 of us and took our photograph with a Polaroid. I mean, boy, the technology nowadays, right? And they did all that, and we are just, they've surrounded us, and we're just laughing and giving them a hard time. And then they said, with the commander, he was fed up with us, and he said, handcuff them all. And we laughed at that, because we knew they didn't have 200 pairs of handcuffs. Amen. And we mocked them. That was the night I was introduced to what they call flexi cuffs. If you don't know what that is, it's like a wire tie. We use them to, and they're about that long. And all of a sudden, a bundle of them comes out. And you know what? We laughed. We mocked them. We were big, tough, outlaw bikers. And isn't some little piece of plastic going to hold us? And boy, were we in for a rude awakening. Boy, they put that thing on you and zip that thing up. And it was worse than handcuffs. It cut you, man. You didn't even want to wiggle. Amen. Here, what are you saying? You know, bondage in a jail cell is one thing, and bondage to a set of steel handcuffs is one thing. But, boy, I'll tell you what, bondage to those little plastic strips was still bondage. Sometimes we get an idea that, well, I'm saved now, and I've gotten some great victories, but, I'm dabbling in this, or I'm looking at this, or I'm going there, or I'm listening to this, and it's not really a big deal because, I mean, comparatively, it's not a big deal. Bondage is bondage. And he tells that church, and I'm telling you tonight, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage. One step forward and two steps back is not progress. Four things to remember in the days to come. Watch ye, watch yourselves, watch the devil, watch for the Lord. Stand fast in the faith. And then he says, quit you like men. Quit you like men. Now that's the phraseology that is a little awkward for us in this day and age, but not for the Bible. It says in 1 Samuel 4:9, be strong and quit yourselves like men. At the end of the verse it says again, quit yourselves like men and fight. So I looked the word quit up, and there's several definitions, and one you're familiar with, and maybe this one you're not. It says to carry through, to do something to the end so that nothing remains, to discharge or perform completely. You know what it says? It says, quit you like me. You know what it means? It means finish what you start. We live in a day and age where even on the spiritual side, people start things and too often don't have the character to see them through. And so he challenges them not to be like that. He challenges them to quit you like men. Start and see it through. When my little girl was 5, I was Mr. Mom there for a while. And I remember saying to her, she was a sweet kid, very articulate, young lady, smart for her age. And Lord really used her to help me when I needed help. And but one time she was acting silly, and I was trying to act spiritual, so I didn't want her, you know, I wanted to appear, you know, real spiritual with some preacher or something. And my kid was acting up, and I said, Evie, you're acting like a 5-year-old. And she just stopped and she looked at me and she said, Dad, I am a 5-year-old. And then it was like the Lord went, Okay, here's what I'm saying. If you're a 5-year-old, act like one. Okay? If you're a baby in Christ, act like one. But that word man kind of indicates full age, yeah. Mature.
Amen.
Paul said to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians 13, he said, when I became a man, I put away childish things. Let me tell you something that's childish. It's starting something and not finishing it. And he tells this church, and he doesn't know at this point in time that he's ever going to see him again. And he says, hey, man, you got started. You had a rough start in some areas, but you got through some things. Now see it through. See it through. He says, quit you like men. Amen. This church has been here a long time. And I'm looking at a good group. But I know this. I know this. I mean, it's true of our church. If everybody that had ever come to that church in 30 years was still there, we'd have to meet at the football stadium. There's people that don't see it through. Well, whatever. I'm not here to judge them. I'm talking to you. The Lord directed this message for you. Amen. Quit you like men means like this. If you're a man, act like it. If you're a lady, act like it. If you're full age, act like it. Amen. See it through. In this day and age, I think it's interpreted. I don't know what the NIV says. I don't care. Amen.
Amen.
But I wonder if it's not interpreted in modern Christianity as stop being men. Because that's the state of modern apostate Christianity. That's why it has so little attraction for real men, because it's so feminine. Listen, I got saved in jail. Amen. But I went to the little church that cared enough about my soul to send the truth to me. I didn't know anything about anything, but that's the church I went to because they cared enough to tell me the truth. And when I got there, they took me in. I know it's going to be really hard for some of you to believe now. But in the beginning, I was a little rough around the edges. Yeah, I wasn't eloquent like I am now. Can you imagine? And that little church befriended me and helped me and taught me and gave me a Bible Institute. And I'm loyal. So I'm part of it. Amen. Without apology. Amen. But I'm here to tell you right now. That's why I'm a Bible believer, because I learned it. But if I'd have come out of jail and went to one of these, I call them kumbaya deals, you know what I'm saying, and I'm not trying to be ugly, but if I would have come out of jail and got involved in one of these highly feminine, limp-wristed kind of group hug, I wouldn't have lasted 6 months. That just would not have bore witness to my soul. This does, because this is real. Amen? Quit you like men. I've heard this story. Everybody knows that St. Peter was a doorman to heaven, right? Everybody knows that. And I can't find it in my Bible yet, but when you do, you know, have David text it to me. So here's this. There's two doors to get into heaven for the men. Two doors. And over the doors, one of them says, this is the entrance for men who the wife ran the home. And outside that door, there is a line a mile long. And then there's another door. And it says, this is the entrance for men who are the scriptural head of their home, like the Bible tells us. Ooh.
Amen.
Thank you. And there's one guy standing there. One guy. And Peter comes out, and he looks, and he goes, wow. And he was amazed at the difference. So he says to the guy, he says, isn't that something? Why do you think it is? All those guys over in that line, and you're the only one in this line. And the guy says, I don't know. My wife told me to stand here. Hey, listen, man. Like I said, I'm glad. That gal right there is a soldier. She's a fellow laborer. She's called to do this, and probably the sacrifice that she makes to leave kids and grandkids behind and travel on the road. They say, why do you call her Mrs. Wonderful? You live in a motorhome with Dave Spurgeon for 18 years. I'll call you Mrs. Wonderful. I know you can't tell this, but there's a few challenges. Again, she's a better soldier for Christ than I'll ever be. I'll tell you that. There's a place for women. There's no doubt about it. All right? But it's called the ladies' department. Amen. All right, let's move on. And there's a department. Is it a secret that my wife's speaking to the ladies here in April? That's good, because if it was, it's not now. Hey, man, she's been at it a long time. 39 years? 40 years this year? Are you that old? 1977, right? My wife's going to fly in here. Leave me in Amarillo with two dogs and fly down here to be part of an all-day ladies' meeting. And I'm going to tell you something about her. And I'm not just building her up. I'm trying to tell you, there's godly women all over this land that take this thing as seriously as the rest of us do. And she takes dressing women as seriously as I do. And she prays about it, and she frets over it, and she gets real nervous like I do. I say, well, you don't look nervous. Well, okay, then I'm making progress. This is the most important thing there is. Right. Amen. And about any man gets in a pulpit with an opportunity to talk about the gospel of Jesus Christ or open that book and isn't nervous about it at all, he's not a God called preacher. He's a professional. It's just an occupation. Amen. This is a high calling of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so, ladies, if you can be there to that meeting, you'll be glad. Quit you like men. Sometimes when it says men, it's just talking about men and women. It means finish what you start. Amen. Four things. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. And the last one was what? Be strong. Be strong. He said to Timothy in the second epistle to that young man, in chapter 2 and verse 1, "Thou therefore be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." A dear friend of mine went on to be with the Lord last April. He signed Bibles with this verse, Joshua chapter 1 and verse 9. "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." You know who signed Bibles that way? Peter Ruckman. And he finished his course at 94 years old. And one of my heroes, and I'm not ashamed to say it, not one bit. Be strong and of good courage. When Paul says be strong, he's not talking about how much you can bench press. I know guys that can bench 300 pounds, but the thought of standing on a street corner and passing out a track terrifies them.
Amen.
I'm serious. I preach to tough guys all the time, amen, who'd be ready to fight, like Peter was in the garden. Amen. Peter pulled his sword. And if Malchus hadn't have zigged when he should have zagged, he'd have probably had his hair parted down the middle. Somebody say, "What are you talking about?" Maybe you should read Matthew 26. Well, I know I'm in with men that are, I mean, everybody carrying guns these days. I can't. I'm a federal felon. So I'm glad you are. And I think there'd be a lot less crime against ladies if every woman that was capable would get trained and pack. I'm for it. Amen. But something about that, when Ohio's made great progress, and now it's easy to get a concealed weapon permit in Ohio. Not for me, but everybody else. And I remember a few years back, and there were young men in their 20s and some in their 30s, and I'd come into church, and my little girl was with me still at home, our youngest, and they'd all go like this and go, "Brother Spurgeon, look. Brother Spurgeon, look." And they're all showing me their pistols. Amen. Because they're telling me they got a permit. And I like that. My daughter goes, "Dad, if it's a concealed carry permit, why does everybody that have one show everybody and talk about it?" I don't know. But I know guys. Amen. Probably some of you just thinking, "Oh, one of these guys comes in here. What a bloodbath it's going to be." Do you have a plan in place? If you're not packing, lay on the floor. I know guys that probably be willing to shoot, but they don't have the guts to tell their coworkers about Jesus Christ. When Paul tells that church, and I'm telling you, when he says be strong, you know what he's talking about? He said being strong enough to have the courage to live for Jesus Christ in a day and age where morals and religious convictions and everything else is out the window. Somebody's got to do it. And it's going to take courage, and it's going to take strength. And who's going to do it if we Bible believers don't do it? So be strong. I hope you got something this week in the course of the messages to build up your strength a little bit. You've had some spiritual exercise this week, and I hope you put it into practice so that if the Lord does tarry, you're here when I come back. And I hope you pray for us, so that I'll be able to come back. It's my desire to do this until the Lord takes me home. I have no retirement plan. Amen. I told my mom, I didn't get saved till I was almost 38. And then I got called into the ministry full time. I think I was 44. And I was talking to my mother. She was still alive then. And I said, "Yeah, Mom, I'm going to be an evangelist and travel around. And someday when I retire..." And she said, "David, you took your retirement first." She says, "You're going to have to work until you die." She is pretty smart, and that looks like it's shaping up that way. The evangelist retirement program does not sound attractive to me. So I covet your prayers so we can stay on the road and stay in the churches. Because welcome to Walmart, can I give you something to read, does not sound like a way to finish. And that's about all some of us evangelists have in way of retirement. Welcome to Walmart. Can I give you something to read? It lasts about one day. Watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. Be strong. Ephesians 6 and verse 10 says, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. We're not up to the task in our own strength. But in Christ, well, I think we've mentioned it this week, along with every other doctrine I can think of, we can do what we're supposed to do. We can do all things through Christ. Four things to remember in the days to come. And verse 14 in 1 Corinthians 16 said this, let all your things be done with charity. And all these things that I've talked about tonight, we're supposed to do with charity. The greatest example of charity, love in action that ever existed, that I know of, is for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I am so glad I got in on that.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. And because I did, well, all the rest of this makes sense. Doesn't make it simple. It's not supposed to be simple. Christ died on the cross. That wasn't simple, even for him. But he didn't do it for him. He did it for us so that we can do what we're supposed to do. Amen? Maybe you're in here tonight and you haven't gotten in on it. Maybe you know the verse. Maybe you've heard it all your life. Maybe you've never made it personal. Jesus Christ went to the cross.
Thank you, Lord.
So that you don't have to go to hell.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Lord.
And if you die before you get saved, like Brother Bill was talking, that's where you'll go. In spite of the sacrifice, in spite of the love. And don't you dare. Don't you dare go to hell from a chair in this church where the truth is preached. Thank you, church, letting us be part of your life for a week and a half. Preacher?